Says the Gemara that Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Unklus bar Colonimus Igaya. Unklus, who the famous Unklus Igaya, who was in fact the nephew of the Roman Caesar. There's a lot of midrashim about the advice that he asked, and you know, beautiful story about how he told him, well, I always invest in things that are, when the price is low. That's why I think this is what we should invest in. But there's some question, by the way, as to whether this is the Unklus that we're referring to when we talk about Unklus the Tana, the one who was the author of the Targum, and we'll see why there's some question about this later. But anyway, when he became a ger, Shodar Kesar Gunda de Romaya Basre, the Roman Caesars sent a troop of Romans from the legions after him. Mashkino Bikroi, he got them all involved in various psukim in the Torah, and in the context of that conversation, they all became gerim. So he decided he's going to send another platoon after them. Omar lahu, but at this time he warned them, lo temru le velo mide, don't say anything to him. So kavi shakru vaza, they pick him up and drag him out. Omar lahu, he says to them, eim alachum yil sabiyam. Let me just tell you something. Mi piura nakad nura kami pi piura. You know, these are a series of Roman levels in terms of the government. We still have, of course, the word pipiore is our word for pope. That's the source of the word pope. But over here, it's a low-level official, right above the nipiura. So the cardinal will hold the torch in front of the pope in front of the duke in front of the governor in front of the king. So that's the ultimate authority, the kuma. But kuma minakat nur mikami hinche would, the king himself, hold a torch in front of anybody else. That's my question to you, gentlemen of the legions. Amrilei, they said, look, absolutely not. Amarlo, you're right. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nakat Nurakam Yisrael. God himself holds the torch in front of Kol Yisrael. B'siv Hashem Alech L'Sehem Yomam. And then it says, V'alayla with an H, La'arot Lehem Aderech. So you see the difference in the way we have a vision of our relationship with our Melech and the way the Goyim do. So they all became gerim. Oh, at this point, the poor Caesar was having a real heart attack. So Hadash Shodar Gundach Rinabai sends another platoon after the first and the second. And Unklus, Amarlu, and he said, look, you stole me by the no conversations at all. Kindaket Levi Azba, if they're dragging him out of the house, Chaza Mezuta, the Mantap, because he's a mezuzah on the door, Oti Viyade Ale, he puts his hands on it. Yomarlu my high, and he says, what's that? Omrulei, Alema Lana, but you tell us. There's another gears over here, and he puts his hand on it, and he smiles. And they say, what are you smiling about, smart aleck? And that's how the conversation starts. So he says, okay, well, I'll tell you. Amarlu, minagoshal olam. What's the norm in the world? Melach basav adam yoshev bibifnim. A king sits inside, and Avadam Mishamrim Otami Bachutz. He's got his guards on the outside. Vilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avadav Mibifnim Vuhu Mishamrim Bachutz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his Avadim, that's us, indoors. And he watches over us on the outside, and that's the simon of the mezuzah. Shineyamar Hashem Yismor Tzeitcha Uvoecha Mi'ata V'yad Olam. He goes. And the last group also became Gerim. And Sulo Shadar Batre, at that point, Caesar gave up and decided it's probably he should cut his losses instead of throwing good money after bad. And it's interesting that this is brought as the marker for the kissing the mezuzah. And actually, those who bring it point out that it doesn't say anything about kissing, it's just touching. It does not seem to be any marker for kissing your fingers after touching the mezuzah. I think it's to show the attach yourself to the mezuzah, such as does, because it's that, not as a show of some type of worshipful relationships. In fact, Shlomo Zalman's touch wouldn't kiss. But this seems to be based on this story over here of Unklus Agir. Vayomer Hashem La. And of course, this is the mocker of the whole thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Rivka, Shnei goyim bivitnech. There are two goyim in your belly. Omer of Yudam Rav, Altitrei goyim ela geyim. Two people of grandeur. Zeh Antoninus Verebi. And this was a reference at the very beginning to this mice of Antoninus Verebi in history, that they were two friends and two goyim, representing two different cultures. And both of them were geyim. They were very grand livers. Shlo pasku me'al shulchanam lo chazeret v'lo kishut v'lo tzimon. Lo b'yamot ha'chamah v'lo b'yamot ha'kishamim. And never, no matter what the season was, did they not have fresh tzimon, radish, and chazeret, which we have as the, you know, we use for chazeret, but we call it horseradish, but it's a type of lettuce. V'lo kishut, which is cucumber. Lo b'yamot ha'chamah v'lo b'yamot ha'kishamim. Yomar mar tznon mechatech ocha. What's the big mile of that? Those are says that it's not that these things were so difficult to get out of season more than anything else. It's that these are things that you need for digestion of high livers. You know, so if it's tznon, that helps to break up the food. Chazeret mehapet ma'akal. That's why it's called chazeret. It makes the ma'akal turn round and round. It helps the systolic pressure, you know, up and back and forth of your stomach. And kishut marchiv me'ayim, and eating kishut, again, it's different, you know, it's like a sprout, Brussels sprout, a cucumber, that type of thing. It causes your stomach to be capable of absorbing more. But I thought that they're bad. Tanan devei Rabbi Shmuel, lama nikra shmon kishuin, mipnei shekashim l'gufo shel adam kecharavot. I thought that they're bad for you. I mean, kishuim is a type of gourd. It's called squash, you know, that type of thing. So isn't it bad for you? And here you're saying that this is something good, that it's marfiv b'nei mi'ayim. Lo kasha barak revei ha'besutri. It depends on the size. The hardened ones are indeed very, very bad for you. But the soft ones, the younger ones, are good for your digestion. At the bottom of the daf, we're instead of talking about it here, we're going to be getting back to Unklus again. The Gemara often says it's very interrelated. As I pointed out, it's very interwoven. So instead of talking about it here, let's just wait 5 minutes and we'll get to it, okay? Anyway, the next thing that we had in the Mishnah were holidays of Avodas Kochavim that were specific to a particular thing, like Yom HaLeida v'Yom HaMita. So the Yom HaLeida, Yom HaMita, take a look back in the Mishnah on Daf Ches. So we have a Machlokes where the Meir says Yom HaLeida v'Yom HaMita, Divrei Meir. And the Chachamim say, well, it depends. Kol Mita sheyesh ba'sreifa yesh ba'avodat kochavim, v'she'ein ba'sreifa ein ba'avodat kochavim. Now, the Gemara said that it would appear that since, according to Rabbi Meir, the Sreifa is irrelevant, so apparently Michwal de Rabbi Meir Savar Loshna Mitash Yesh Basreifa. Veloshna Mitash Ein Basreifa. Pachi Balavadat Kochavim. Alma Sreifa Lav Chukahi. According to Rabbi Meir, Sreifa is meaningless. That's not the point. What's bothering us is the Avoda of Avodas Kochavim that they do at the time that they have these death parties. So Mamela, according to him, apparently, there's no problem of the Sreifa per se. It's a non-issue. Mashman, according to Rabbanan, who say, well, it all depends on whether there's Sreifa. But according to the Rabbanan, Sreifa Chukahim. That indeed, Sreifa is considered to be a Chok of Akum. Comes the Chok of Akum and actual icons, we can probably blame the Oscars for the poor turnout this morning. Something of an icon of the Kuzayaku. Yes, I personally know quite a few people who were up all night watching the Oscars. Yeah, so in any event, it appears that we have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim as to whether the Sreifa, the death, is considered to be Chukais Akum or not. The problem is that the way we have it seems to be wrong, because Vatanya says in the Brisa, Sorfim al Hamlachim, V'lo Midarkei HaMorim, It says in a brisa that when a king dies, you do burn his clay tashem. We'll see later on what it is that's burned. But it's not considered to be darkei amori to do such things. And if you're going to say that the chachamim hold over here, that it is considered to be chukah, so yichukaini, anan heti sarfinan, how do we have a right to be soref al hamlachim? V'hachtiv ubechukotehem lo telechu. Doesn't it say that you're not allowed to do the things that are chukei akum? Now, there's a little bit of a problem over here, which I'll talk about in a moment, which is that it's brought in the Torah that there was misrefot on the Melachim. And we'll talk about it in a moment. Let's set that aside for a moment and deal with this issue as if it's a valid question. And we'll see why, what makes it a valid question. So if it's a chok, then the Chachamim shouldn't be allowing this brisa. Therefore, we'll have to conclude that our implications that the Machlokas and the Mishnah were mistaken. Elazakulayama Srefa Lav Kukahi. Everybody agrees that it's not the Srefa that's the chok. The question of the difference between the Chachamim and Rebbe Meir is in the actual Avodas Chachamim itself. Why do they bring in an issue that's not Nogea, which is whether they do Srefa? Simply because the level of the cover that they're doing at this death is the level that determines whether there will be Avodas Kochavim. That's the issue over here. Not that the Srefa itself is Aser. But rather, the Srefa is Lachuka Ela Kashivutahi. It's just a sign of how important the event is. And that's what the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim revolves around. Rabbi Meir Savar Loshna Mitash Yesh Basrefa. Veloshna Mitash In Basrefa. Palki Bal Avodat Kochavim. It doesn't matter whether it's a very high level death that they're celebrating over here and that there's actually being Surat, the things of the Melech. And even if it's not, it's still the type of holiday in which they worship Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's considered to be Aser as an Eid Akum. Rabbanan Sabre, where the Rabbanan holds, if it's Chashuv, so it's Mitash Yesh Basrefa, then Chashiva, then it's important to them. And then they view it as a time in which they should worship the Lord. So Upal Cheba, they worship Avodah Zarah. But if Ein Basrefa, it's not considered to be a major event. And if it's not a major event, low policy, but they don't utilize it for worshiping Avodas Kochavim. Gufa. Let's take a look at the following brisa, and we'll get into our problem with the fact that the Torah itself is matir, this gufa. Sorfim al hamelachim, ve'im bo mishum darkei ha'emori, shenema bishalom tamut, ubemisrafot avotecha hamelachim. Here, the Navi tells Titio that although the Churban is coming, you will die in peace, and they will burn over you the way they burned for the other Malchut Yehuda. Which means, obviously, that's mutter. Ukishem shesorfim al hamelachim, kach sorfim al hanisiyim. And in the same way that the minhag is to be sorev things of the melech, the minhag is also to be sorev the things of the mishpachat of the nasi, from the mishpachat of the nasi. And he has a din like a melech. Umahim sorfim ala melachim. What is it that they would burn? Mitatam, their beds, for personal use. Kleitash bishan, their personal kelim. Umaaser shemet Rabbi Gamliel azakein. Visarav alav unklus hager shivim mona tsuri. It happened that unklus hager burned at the death of Rabbi Gamliel 70 mona, which doesn't make any sense because you just said, what do you mean 70 mona? You mean he took cash and he burned it? So Amrit Mahin Sarfim Aleihem Mitatanu Chleitash Mishan? I thought it says, what is it that is burned? Only their personal things? What do you mean, Shivim Mana? No. We mean that he saw to it that they burned L'Chvod Rav Gamliel Azar Kane, personal Kalim, whose worth was Shivim Mana Tzuri. Now, the problem is, and this is the issue I raised earlier, is that Unklus Hager was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, who were the Chaverim of Rabbi Gamliel Miyavne, not Rabbi Gamliel Azake. And this puts Unklus in the wrong door completely. How could he have burned on Rabbi Gamliel Azake? Now, the Maisa appears in the Rif and the Rosh that the word Hazaken doesn't appear here. In which case, this could simply be Shemes Rabbi Gamliel as a reference to Rabbi Gamliel the Yavne, and it's just a mistake here in the Girsa. Possibility. There are others who suggest because of this that maybe there were two Unklesim. In other words, maybe there was this Unkles Bar Polonimus, and that's one Unkles, and there's the famous Unkles Hager of the, who was someone else, and who was Megayer also with the same name, but wasn't the Unkles that was the Bala Targum. But it's sort of a weak thing to, debate it on, just the question of whether it says over your Hazakein or not. Because if it just says Tam Rabbi Gamliel, it could easily mean the Rabbi Gamliel of Yah. Umede Achrin Alo, you mean to say that we only burn those things that you mentioned, like his bed, his personal usage, Vatanya, Okrin Al HaMelachim, you're allowed to be Oker animals, means to cut off the tendons that they're no longer usable to walk on. For Malachim, the Enbo Mishum Darkei HaAmori, and there's no problem. So apparently, again, we're talking about things that are not personal, Amritho, but of course it's personal. This is a reference to a Sus, Shrakabala, means the personal steed of the king. It's not Roy that somebody else should use it. And Mamela, it's considered to be an act of Kovet. Now, Lekora, there's no question of Bal Tashrits, because Tosis explains something that is done for a purpose, over here it's done the chavod of the malachim, is not considered to be hashvasa in the alma. Hashvasa means that it's hashvasa, a meaningless hashvasa, it isn't serving the tashmish of b'nei yotza. But Tosis is very bothered by the fact that it should be usher because of tzar b'alechayim. That's a different issue. I mean, what do we do with the tzar b'alechayim question? And this is something that... we do talk about this in other places where the Gemara asks. So Tosis suggests that maybe because it's ultimately the covet of Kol Yisrael that we do this like the same way we're regarding Tzar Balei Chayim for other things that we do that is Tzarach of humanity. So that even though this seems to be a avoidable Tzar Balei Chayim, But in terms of the covet of all of Yisrael and so on, it's considered to be important enough that we're mevatar on the Tzar Balei Chayim, same way we would for a medical experiment. And those things that are being done, not l'legrimas tzar, are mutter. That's a Tosa suggestion.
The impact it's going to have on the people.
Yeah.
Sacrifice for the impact.
It's a sacrifice. Says the Gemara, your answer is that it's his personal source, but that doesn't make sense because that would imply that we're not talking about a behemoth Torah. I mean, obviously they're not going to be riding around on a cow, the king. And yet, it does say in the Brisa of Tanya, Ikur sheyesh patrefa asur. You're not allowed to do an act of ikur that would cause the animal to be trefa. But she'ein ba trefa muta. Now, that's how Rashi learns. And he learns that you're not allowed to be goring trefas the yadayim to an animal. Which Tosef questions, where in the world does he get this from? I mean, what are we talking about? We're not talking about kachim over here. Where do we get an idea that there's an iser of grimas trefa? A strange thing. I mean, if it's not Os Baltashis, if it's Os Baltashis, it can ask about the whole thing. So then everything falls apart if it's Os Baltashis.
I think make a horse treif. It is treif.
No, that's the riot that we're talking about, the Hema Tahura.
That's
exactly what we're asking. How do you make a horse treif? But meanwhile, what's it talking about? I mean, why would it be usher to make a cow treif? So Tosis learns that Rashi misunderstands the Brisa, that in fact what the Brisa is referring to is usur, not to do the act of trefa, but at usur b'achila. The reason that looks crazy on the surface is obviously it's usur b'achila that's trefa, but the point is that it's being taken out of context, says Tosis. If you take a look at that Brisa, the Brisa talks about the difference between an isur hana'a and an isur of achila. So it's telling me that I would have thought that maybe there's an isra of achila on this thing, that, right? So therefore it says, if it wasn't turned into treifa, it's mutter, meaning it's mutter to eat. And it's only usher to eat, to achila, but you shouldn't think that it's considered to be something, since it was the chod amalek, it remains usher ba'ana'a. That's all that it's saying, nothing to do with the act itself. And what is defined as an ikur she'ein ba treifa? If you cut off the lower part of the foot of the animal beneath the ankle, what is the ankle in a human? In any event, obviously, it's not a horse. I mean, are we talking about a horse? What's a chash to be talking about whether it's treifa or not, it's kosher or not? Indeed, it is talking about here a kosher animal. But it's an animal that, again, was being used for the personal use of the king, such as, for instance, in Agla, a Moshechet Bekaron, maybe it's an egel, that was being used to draw the chariot of the king. They would have, you know, like oxen drawing the chariot. So maybe it's that type of thing. But certainly it's limited to personal issues. It's not just time you go around burning. You're burning that which others shouldn't be using because it's the clay tashmish of Shamel.
Connection here between the fact, I still think that's true for one that he's got a ring on it. The person died with a ring and jewelry. It's a question whether that might be considered connected. And Isra HaNon, that's because it connects to the body.
No, there's something else. There's an Isra that Kalim Shalmeis or Asurim
BaHanon. Right, so maybe it's straight to connect to that. That's what I'm saying.
No, that's good for what the bride is saying. If it's not straight, it's not us. It's only, you shouldn't think it's the same thing as things that were put into the kever with the mace and so on. But on the contrary, that over here, it's not, you're not allowed to benefit from it. If something was buried with someone, then
it was buried.
Yeah.
But not when before they're buried.
No. So, let's get back now to the question that I raised earlier, which Tosis raises here, which is, if the Torah says that the B'Shalom Tammuz of the Misufot Avotecha Melachim, so then what kind of question are we asking? What do you mean? It should be usher. I mean, that's what it should be usher because it's chukah. I mean, the Torah says that it's mutter. What kind of question is that? So first, Tosis wants to suggest that this Tana is actually Rabbi Yehuda, who says the most amazing thing. When before we had back in Sanhedrin, Rabbanan say that the misa of Sayyid is to kill the way that the Malchus kills, which is to slit the throat, basically. Rabbi Yehuda Taina is that it's to cut off the head from the back. Because the way the Malchus does it would be Chukas Akum. So even though it's maneuver, but we don't follow Chukas Akum. Even though it says in the Torah, Hariga, which the Pashas would mean normal Hariga. Yeah. But because of a Chukasayim lo telecha, we won't follow it. So maybe I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, even though it says, but Mr. Fotavotecha, since this is now a Chok of Akum, so we wouldn't do it. Maybe that's the pshat. Whereas the Re says a very important distinction. The Re says there's two types of things of Chukah. One is a Chok that is done for Avodas Kechavim. And this is the way in which one worships a god. And that's the issue that we're raising over here. Is it a chok of Avodah Zarah that it's a mode of worship? Or there's another level of chukei akum, which means to follow the dumb things that they do. It's dumb, okay. They want to walk around with hula hoops. And then, so that's chukah saying, to walk around with hula hoops. You know, whatever. And some stupid thing which is just a fad that goyim are into. But that should be something that seems to make you part of them. The machlokas here in the Gemara, everybody is willing to agree that it's a chok, says Tosfos. The question of the year is, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the chok la'akum? If it's a chok la'akum, then it should be usher even when it says it in the Torah, like we find by Matseva. That originally the Torah talked about the Matseva, all of the Aves were makriv on the Matseva. And then once it became a chok for Akum, was taken over by Goyim, then it became Sonui Lamakum, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also ate it to Matseva. So by the same token, if it's that type of chok, then it would be something that everybody would agree, perhaps, that we wouldn't do. And the only question over here is whether it's just a chok shal shtus, way, but it's just forever. It's just something dumb that you do.
So they bring down by turkey and turkey and Thanksgiving that some people bring it down to death.
Right.
Selfish,
right. But I mean, obviously, turkey is called hodu and Thanksgiving is hoita, and it's not sama minix, just be honest. I mean, this leads into all types of, you know, fascinating, very nogea issues about kukos akum. And then the truth is, there's a big machlokus between the Ran and the Ma'arik. What is really being referred to when we talk about chukim of hevel v'shtus? Are they chukim of hevel v'shtus that define them as a society, but which don't relate directly to the Avodah Zarah? Or are they stam hevel v'shtus? Has nothing to do with it. Just stam, you know, like a stupid thing that people do. I mean, then who cares? And then there's a third question as to whether things that one would have done anyway, because they make sense, whether such things b'chalal are included under chukos akum at all, unless they're mamish chukos akum. So as if misrefot avotecha would be something that you would do on your own as an act of kavod, so under no circumstances could you consider it to be a chukos akum, unless it's mamish used for avodah zarah. Now, the Gro was very makbid on it. Now, he held the only things that are mutter, even though they're things that Goyim did, were things that bedatka, this thing itself, we would have thought of. In other words, let's say that we have an approach, we want to be machabed malachim. What is considered to be a kovet for malachim? So then we'll look to the Goyim and we'll say, well, the Goyim burn on the malachim. So then that's a mode of honor of malachim. But since that mode is derived from Akum, then that itself would have been us, the Grohol. So even if it's a Dover Shaltam, if in order to define that Dover Shaltam, you need to view the way in which the psychology of the thing evolved among the Goyim, then basically you're following that natural evolution of psychology, which is itself the source of Avodah Zarah. And you can't follow that. We can't define it objectively. I mean, why would a species decide that burning something is a sign of vanish? You're going to figure that out? No. So it would have to be something in which, yes, it may be that we understand the evolutionary development of honor for parents, or the evolutionary development of honor for authority and for a prime male, and so on, but not burning. So if we're looking for honors, if we could find something that we can justify in terms of honor, so then Enochinami, who cares if Goyim do it? They don't do it. We would have figured this out on our own. If we would have figured it out on our own, time is to grow, then and only then it's not considered to be a chokah. But even if the tachlis is considered to be a svara, in which kovet is the desire that I want to show over here, what makes this kovet? That would still be a problem. If you cannot justify this as being an act of covet, it just happens to be that people view this as covet, then that becomes a chukos akum. So to them, it's an act of covet to take off your hat. Say, so you walk into a church, you take off your hat. What's up? Why should I? I also want to be a machaber to Beit HaKnesset. So I say, okay, so go and view this as an act of covet, so I'll take off my hat when I walk into the Beit HaKnesset. Be a machaber. That would be a chukos akum, even though my intent is I'm searching for a mode of showing honor, this wouldn't be a way to show honor. Maybe I should cover myself more, not cover myself less. That's the type of issue that is nogea b'chok akum. There's tremendous implications of halacha on every one of these things. In terms of what consists of hevel v'shtus. What is actually the things that do make sense b'nei u'bei?
I don't know, did I do it anymore?
You
didn't used to walk into a public building,
so you
have to take off your hat.
Yeah. They don't do it anymore.
School, you used to have to take off your hat.
Right. You couldn't wear a hat.
You can't wear a hat.
They don't do that anymore. You can even wear a hat in court?
No, keep up. Okay. Or a turban.
Yeah.
Is this a chok mishpat or
something? Maybe.
I had a problem.
Beautiful
deal. I was in the Navy, and I had
take off my hat. I had this sailor hat, so I took it off and put on a kippah. And he looked at me like he didn't know what was going on. But I saw me love what was happening there. That was funny that he asked me to take off your hat.
No, but he didn't know what a kippah
was. I don't know if he knew what it was.
Now, the Mishnah talks about Yom Tiglachat Zikno Ublurayato. So, the truth is that there were two separate things that they used to do. What they used to do was that they would be Megaleach, like we do, Lahavdil, the Upsharanish, you know. We take off everything except the anti-blurit. The anti-blurit. The place where they won't grow hair, that's the only place that we will grow hair, right? To pay us, in other words. Okay.
Don't they call this the
blurit? Yeah. Yeah, because that middle patch of hair, really, the back patch. Yeah. They started modern Hebrew calling blurit. Actually, the blurit was from the mid-batch.
Really called it chip, right?
It's really called a trip in Hebrew, but no question about it. So there were two things. They first left the blurit to start growing, sort of the way you would do with a child, and it starts growing. It grows for a year, because it's very long, and very nice. And then there was like Lahavdil again, like a nazir. They would cut the blurit, l'shem shamayim, you know, and present the hair. And so there were really two separate ways of understanding the Mishnah. So what did the Mishnah mean when it said Yom Tiglachat Zikno Bluriato? Is that Yom Tiglachat Zikno U Bluriato, meaning leaving over the blurit because I cut off everything else? O Dilma Yom Tiglachat Zikno V'Ha'avarat Bluriato? Or was it the second part of the ceremony, which was done a year later, in which they would take off all of the hair?
But it's clear it's together.
They're interrelated. Yeah, they're interrelated in some way. Because, stama haircut obviously is not done with Shema Vares Kechavim, but it's the blurit that was the part that was the Shema Vares Kechavim. Tashma de Tanya Tarvayu. In fact, in the Brisa, it says that it means both. And that's why the Mishnah left it this way. It's both Yom Tiglachat Zikno V'Hanachat Blurito, and it's Yom Tiglachat Zikno V'Havarat Blurito. And the Mishnah, by making it a little bit vague, leaves us both pirushim. Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, you should know that the Mishnah has left out, because the Mishnah, as we'll see, is talking about annual holidays. The Mishnah has left out the big one. It was a big holiday that only was done once every 70 years. Because once every 70 years, there was always the fear that at the end of Shivim Shana, there is a Golas for Yisrael, because it was the first Golas was Shivim. Apparently, Shivim is like an entire cycle. It was an entire generation's lifespan. And therefore, there were always hashash that Yisrael would be on top, and they wanted to reestablish the ascendancy of Esav over Yisrael. And as we've seen, again, I've pointed this out many times, from the beginning of the Masechta, this Masechta is built around this intense interrelationship between Esav and Yisrael, the way in which there's elements of friendship and deep connection, and elements of profound competition, the Shnei Goyim B'Vitneich, and the Lo Milo Om Yamatz, and all through the Masechta, we keep coming back to these issues in many different guises, whether in terms of the culture as a whole, or whether in terms of the individuals, whether it's Rav and Avidan, or whether it's Rebbe and Antoninus, and Bichlal, the way in which each conversation goes in the Gemara here between a Jew and an Akum. And this was the ultimate holiday. Then Achas Hashemim Shana, Meviim Adam Shalem, Umarkivim Oto Al Adam Chiger. They would take a fine, upstanding, and healthy man and put him on the back of a man who limped. And that limping man was Yaakov Avinu, who was damaged in the Giran Noshes. Because all the way, in other words, their recognition is that the thing that they have over him was from what happened the night before he met Esau. They put him on top of a limping man. And Malbishimoto Bigdei Adam HaRishon, the very begodim that were worn by Yaakov Avinu when he, which had been stolen by Esav, who was going to go out and use them to hunt, and he had given them to Rivka to hold, and Rivka gave them now to Yaakov Avinu to be Lovish. They take those clothing and they put it on Esav, on the one that represents Esav. They take the scalp of Rabbi Yishmael, when they murdered him in the Atzar Rugi Malchus, and they put it on top of his head, as if he wears the head of Yisroel, the head of Tehran. It's a remez in Shtei's three pieces of Nachis Liyama that Taisus brings, in the one in Rome and one in the rest of the world. And they cover, this is the streets are lined with gold, that's where it comes from. They cover the streets of Rome in precious stones.
What is
Fiza? Fiza? Fiza is fine gold, Paz. Paz, or some learn that it's also Rashi learns here, it's a reference to a diamond or an Evan Yikara, a very, very valuable thing. And they would cover the streets with valuable stones. And they would go and announce in front of them, an announcer walking in front of them, saying, Sach Kiri Plaster. That what it is that the Kiri is the guy in charge, the Katsin. It's all a fake, it's all a lie. What it was that Yaakov Avinu, this is how Rashi learns, that the Katsin is a reference to Yaakov. When Yaakov told his children about Achus Hayomim and that they're going to come and they're going to take over Esav, it's all a lie. Tosafot says it doesn't make sense that they would be referring to Yaakov as Kiri. I mean, on the contrary, they want to say that they're ascendant over Yaakov. Why would they call him the Katsin? Therefore, the Rabbi Natan says it's referring to Yitzchak Avinu, because they also give cover to Yitzchak. So in other words, the Katsin, who ended up giving over the brachas to Yaakov, was all a lie, because after all, he was fooled. And even though he said, Yakasher Tariz, you know, and that would allow for them to have ascendancy over Yaakov, but that implies that ultimately Yaakov is going to be in charge. That's all a lie. We never see him, Yaakov, being Zofa de Barakas. We never see Yisrael being Menatzeach. So that's all a lie. And Ahu de Marana Zaifana. And not only that, the brother of our master, Esav, was a phony through and through. And we know what he did, how he stole those brachas from him and stole the Bechorah from him. Gechomi Chomi, one who is alive now and witnesses this holiday, is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. He's witnessed it. For the Lo Chomi, if he doesn't see it today, Lo Chomi, he won't live to see the next one. But Mayahani L'Rama V'Rama Uta, what good did it do him, this Rama, in his Rama Ut? Did Yaakov get anything out of it? What good did it do this Zayak, the Zayfanuta? And then after the ceremony, they would say, Vayeladein gad yakum dein. Woe to this one if the other one ever becomes ascendant. So that we have to always keep them down.
So it's recognized that it's just a temporary victory.
They're afraid. they're trying to persuade themselves that it's not temporary. Omer of Ashi, you know, if you look at the way they say it, they themselves have even spoken bad about themselves. Because if they had said, Zaifanach with the Marana, what a phony, the brother of our master, then it would have meant what they think it meant. But what they now said was, they said, Achua the Marana Zaifana, the brother of our phony master. So they're really talking about Ace. So now they say Marana Zaifana means the Marana Gufe Zaifana. It means that Esav was always the phony and sticking up his feet, so to speak, as the chazir, and claiming that he was star. The Tana be done, my time of the Why does our Tana leave out this very important Ked Ha'akum? Because the Tana, our Tana, Haidisa Pefo Shata Veshata Kochashi, he only counts those holidays that are annual holidays, but the less of Pefo Shata Veshata Kochashi, if it's not an annual holiday, he doesn't reckon it. Okay, Hani Deromoi, that's the Roman holidays that the Mishnah was interested in listing. In our days, we have to worry also about the Parsoi, that's over later. What are their holidays? Well, their holidays would be Mother's Day, Mutter's Day, you know. So, okay, these are various names that were, that they had annual, we don't know what they are, Turiski, Mohoranki, Moharim. Those are the Persian days. That's the Persians, that's the Romans, but what about the Bavlimai? Well, the Bavlim also, they had their days. They had the Mohoranki, the Aknite, Bachanuni, and Eser Ba'adar. That comes out in Eser Ba'adar. They had, so, I don't know, maybe it was connected with today. Maybe it's a Purim kind of, the Hakon of the Purim. Omer of Chanan Barov Chista, Omer Rav. Omer of Chanan Barova, Omer Rav. Chanisha Batei Aldeko Chavim Kivuin Hein. There are five places where they're constantly involved in Avodas Kachavim. This is what I was going to ask, what it means, Kivuin. The Elohim. Beit Bel, the Bavel, the house of Bel. And Beit Nevo, in Kursi. And Tirati, which is in Mapag. And Tzarifa, in Ashkelon. And Nashra, in an Arab land, Shabarabia. And Kiosa, Ravimi, he said, well, nowadays, Hosifu Alehem, they added now the Yerid, Shabain Bechi. And Nidbacha Da'ako, some say Shabako, some say it was actually, it's called Nadbara Shabako. Ravdini Minarga had this backwards. He had Yerid Shabako and Nidbacha Shabain Bechi. But in any event, what does it mean to say that they're Kavua? I'm not Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista, Rav Chista, my Kvuin. What did you mean when you said they're Kavua? I'll tell you what your mother's father said. Kvuin hein la'olam tadira, meaning kula shata pokolu. In that area, you have to be chayish. There's constantly people there that will use what you're doing to bring korbanos for avodas kochavim. Omar shvo bagola, ino asur elo yomei dam bilvad. Only the actual day of the holiday is asur in the gola, not the 3 days before. V'yomidam nani niyasi. Wait a second, is that true that the holiday itself is osir? I thought Rabbi Yehuda was matir Rav Bruna to go ahead lezvune chamra, Rav Gidel lezvune chitin, v'chagata detaye. They had like this fair that they would have, in which the businessmen would come in, and they would every once in a while they would make this fair, and they would worship there. And he said it was mutter even, and this is in Chutzlaretz, it was mutter even to sell things that could be used for the holiday, wine and chitim and so on. No, that's different. Shaini chagata detai de lo kavia. You see, those fair days were not kavua. It wasn't something that they had to do every year that had a specific date and so on. They would make like a comdex, they'd get together when there were new products and so on, but it wasn't something that was kavua. Since it wasn't kavua, it didn't have its religious connotations, it wasn't linked to the calendar. So Mimela, he felt that the bichlal, you didn't have to answer in terms of its bringing to Avodas Kochavim.